Welcome back to Third Act Saviors, a podcast where we watch a bad movie and try to fix it by changing only the third act. I am Michael Fromm.
I'm Jacob Kuykendall.
I'm Daniel Kinnaman.
And I'm John Walker.
Whoa!
A very special guest.
What's so special about
him? I'm very special?
You're very special.
Top's most special guest in there, in the running.
Oh, yeah. We've been meaning to get you on here for a long time. Mm-hmm. John is my fellow improviser. We have a group together.
We are boon companions at doing improv together.
That's right.
This podcast, we watched Daniel's favorite animated film from 2017.
Boss Baby!
Woo!
A Boss with a Baby! Full disclosure, I chose this movie because it's a clickable title.
Go on!
And for those of you hearing these words right now, you fell for it.
Ooh,
that's right.
Clickbait!
Why, Daniel, why did you choose this movie?
Because I saw a trailer for a Boss Baby. I said, there's no way this movie's going to make sense. A lot of people were talking about the Boss Baby. Boss Baby had buzz.
Boss Baby Buzz.
I want to board that Boss Baby Buzz.
I thought Toy Story had Buzz.
Nice.
Hey! For the listener, Mike and Daniel, high five. John and I know high five.
We know high five.
You get a high five
later. We know high five.
When something better happens, there will be a high five at the center of the table.
This movie, I think, that it was successful.
Did it make money?
Very successful.
It made money. It was very popular. With kids and and people.
Usually these kids movies do well because they're released like one at a time, so they have no competition.
Paddington 2 in theaters now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I love Paddington.
Why didn't we watch that?
We should have.
It's supposed to be good, that's why.
Okay, cutting it off, we're going to see Paddington 2.
Okay.
Now, and The Shack.
The Shack starring Paddington 2.
Yes, there it is.
Paddington's daughter dies.
I'm just going to go out on a limb, you guys.
Yeah.
This movie fucking sucked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a real turn.
How dare you?
Jacob flipped the table.
I didn't like fucking thing about it.
It was very abrasive from the get-go. We turned it on, and I was like, sorry, guys.
So, as a fan of children's movies, which I am... I will say that I would have preferred watching Alvin and the Chipmunks the Squeakquel.
And just to say that, Mike goes to see a lot of children's movies by himself.
It's true. I just sit in the
alone,
theater and cry at Coco.
In the back, and it's really creepy.
I saw How to Train a Dragon just like that. I went to some work training and learned about rust prevention.
Ooh, la
using
la.
Anodes. Yeah, so I had a hot day of that and was stuck in Tacoma. With my government car that I was driving around, and I said, well, I better go see a movie. And the only thing I remotely wanted to see was How to Train Your Dragon. And I went there, and it was me and a bunch of seven-year-olds with their mom. In
and Daniel in, a jumpsuit covered in grease.
Being like, I love this movie. All ladies.
Did you get to the bottom of anything?
Yeah, I found out how to train that dragon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Treat it like a kitty cat.
See? Money well spent.
Now, listeners, if you would like to hear more about rust-proofing with anodes, tweet at us at thirdxaviors.com. Twitter.com.
And it's not a great training. All right, let's talk about the Boss Baby in detail. You guys ready?
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what happens in the movie The Boss Baby.
Also, can I just say, before we jump into The Boss Baby, I had an idea of what this movie was going to be just based on existing in the world and, you know, hearing.
What was that idea?
Being a human and saying boss baby. Yeah, okay.
I hear the words boss baby.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to put words in your mouth.
Please do.
That you thought that maybe it was a baby and a boss.
A baby who was just Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he was just telling you what to do and he was kind of a boss.
Yeah, he'd be like, get your reports in by Friday on my desk.
Ha 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 ha. All the adults laugh.
I had no fucking clue what this movie was. And I had, did anyone know there was going to be an older brother character?
I did, because I did some preliminary research.
Yeah.
And I think he was in the trailer, which I saw somehow.
Okay.
The trailers were mostly focused on the Boss Baby, but I had read some vague discussion about Puppy Co., so I was like, there's some weird stuff in this movie we're going to hit.
I thought it was going to be a lot more about just Alec Baldwin playing his character from 30 Rock. but he's also a baby.
Daniel asked me to join you guys, and I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you, John.
But he also told me that we were going to be watching Boss Baby. And I had, even though I have a niece and nephew who are small and might watch an animated feature like this, I have not seen this film, and I know why they haven't either. I thought it was over.
Three times. Yeah.
Basically, every act ends with, like, and that's the end of the movie.
Psych!
Yeah. Psych, now there's puppies!
There's more Boss Baby babying to have.
I also think that it's a... I mean, we'll get into this, but I also think that it's about a boy who is having severe hallucinations about his life.
Feels that way.
And very difficult times relating to a small child. And you know, I don't want to get into the psychology.
Reminded me of Deliverance. It's not clear if the whole thing actually happened. In my opinion. All right, here's what happened in Boss Baby. We open on a young boy talking about how much he loves his parents and how much he likes to imagine things.
He's fighting a gorilla, and I literally thought that I was so confused that this was the beginning of Boss Baby that I thought it was like a Pixar short of this young child fighting a gorilla.
That is true.
It opens with a map that labeled Congo and then zooms in where you see a young boy fighting a gorilla wearing glasses. And then a bunch of CGI revealing happens, showing that it's actually him palling around with his dad. Shows him in space, shows him fighting a shark, being in a whale's mouth. Everything's great.
It's like a Calvin and Hobbes strip, except without the good parts.
Yeah, without the artistry or the humor.
It shows him getting tucked in by his parents and them reading him a bunch of bedtime stories and singing a song for him, and his mother is pregnant.
There's a weird moment here where he explains how much love he gets from his parents by this scene where he imagines that he has, like, 20 parents, and they're all singing and hugging him at the same time.
Yes, and wait. I don't want to stop you from your plot.
Stop him.
What? Was she pregnant?
Rewound
it.
Yeah, you were in the restroom, but we double-checked.
And she definitely was pregnant. She had a belly.
Yeah.
A pregnant woman's belly.
Okay.
That's very confusing and concerning
because
based on what
happens
in the movie.
Next that makes you think, well, I don't know.
Before we jump on to the most concerning part of this movie, let's dip our toe into something that's a little bit less concerning but still concerning. What song as a child would you want to hear before going to sleep?
Oh, Skinamarink.
What song did little Timothy Lindsay Theodore, or whatever his name is, get to hear?
Timothy...
Leslie
Templeton. I remember now.
He got to hear Blackbird.
By the Beatles.
Yes.
Which is a song about civil rights, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And later, it's explained that he thinks his parents wrote this song. But they didn't.
It's true. Boss Baby makes a great Lennon and McCartney joke later.
It's real good.
I really feel like the entire musical budget went to buying the rights to Blackbird.
Yes.
Yep, they do it. They sing it 6 times throughout the movie. Well, the first line. They never sing more than one line.
I'm sorry that I may have missed a few things in this 90-minute movie that feels like
a 3-hour
movie.
Like
it's 3 hours long.
And we're 45 seconds in. All right. So now we cut to something very scary. Babies in Heaven.
Yeah.
With a song. What is it?
I'm in Heaven.
Yes.
I'm in heaven, something in my butt.
You see a bunch of babies going down an assembly line, like in the clouds, and they're being sorted based on gender. There's a pinball flipper that says whether you're a guy or a girl baby, and then you go down a slide based on that.
And then there's also a really funny gag of each baby getting a pacifier, but the baby we've been following through this process is butt first, so we're worried, real worried he's going to get a pacifier right in the butt.
Yes. Yeesh.
This movie continues to have a lot of babies in sexual situations.
Michael. The pacifiers become a very important item in this movie.
It's true. It's really the MacGuffin.
We don't know it right now, but they are going to become an item that they have to have.
They need the pacifiers.
And not in their butts.
Yeah. Right. And it can't be in their butt. Well, we don't know if it can be in their butt.
I mean, there's going to be like a reboot of Boss Baby where it does go in his butt, and we'll see like the different universe of what would have happened.
It's all female reboot.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of like when kids, when I was in high school, kids didn't figure out that you could
put vodka in your butt.
Fuck.
Come on, kids these days.
Oh, man. I went to high school at the wrong time.
Yeah. I could have been putting vodka tampons in my ass for years.
No one would know.
Okay.
Speaking of butts,
this boss
baby, I'm doing it right now.
This boss baby goes down the assembly line and goes to a machine that tickles you. Mm-hmm. And if it tickles you and you laugh, you get sorted into the family slide. And all the other babies go down that. But when the baby we follow gets to this, he gets tickled and doesn't laugh. And the flipper sorter sends him down the slide labeled management. He's going into management. And he's given like a little robot, puts a suit on him, mm-hmm. and puts a gold watch on his arm, gives him a briefcase. He is now a boss baby. It also like is sorted into a cubicle and immediately has to start
and
working.
And it's not like a nice, oh my gosh, look at this wonderful life he's leading. It is like the beginning of Stardew Valley, where it's like, look at this horrible dystopian cubicle hell that all these babies have to live in.
Daniel, I have to add, he also gets a bottle full of formula, which turns out to be very important.
Very important. Very important. Almost the most important thing in the movie.
It is the prime of MacGuffin.
45 minutes later, we find out it's the most important thing in the movie.
We didn't know that then, did we?
And then we cut back to the Templeton residence. Mm-hmm. Tim Templeton, our kind of protagonist, is sitting at home when a taxi pulls up and the boss baby gets out of it. It shows his mom, who's not pregnant anymore. This baby doesn't just walk into the house on his own. He dances into the house on his own, putting on sunglasses.
You piece of shit.
This is the part that Jacob made sure I wrote down.
Daniel implies that I like told him this. No, I just looked over while this scene was going on at Daniel's nose, and I'm like,
I don't know. You can't forget. Hey, moonwalks into that residence.
Yeah. Do what you want, Daniel. I'm just pointing it out.
It's Bruno Mars, boss baby.
Yes. He's very cool. He's winking at the camera. He's giving you finger guns. It's the boss baby. And guess what? He's your little brother now.
Oh, no.
He's accepted into the family, but this is the part of the movie that is actually like a kid's storybook. Katrina. Yes.
Fan
of the show was in the room while this was going on and pointed out like, oh, I've read this kid's book. This is the part that is actually from the kid's book.
Yes.
Where it's a baby who is very demanding, so demanding, he acts like a boss.
He's having meetings all hours of the night, and you see a baby crying and the parents
with other babies.
He's making parents come in the room all the time. He's very demanding. He throws a fit if he doesn't get anything right. But Tim thinks something is wrong with this baby.
And Tim's not getting any of his love.
Yes, that's true. Tim's very sad. He feels ignored.
There's no more stories or songs or gorilla fighting with his pops.
Mm-hmm. Because his parents are terrible.
They're wretches.
I'm sorry. We got to back up to add another detail that is briefly mentioned. Both his parents are advertising executives at Puppy Co. Don't worry. We'll talk about this an hour from now. Which is vitally important information.
One night, Tim catches this baby who wears a suit all the time on the telephone talking with the voice of Alec Baldwin to someone about
a toy telephone.
Yes, but yeah. He's saying adult business-like words.
Mm-hmm. He's saying synergy.
He's got a mission.
And TPS reports.
Boss Baby totally busts him, eavesdropping on him. They get in a big argument. Boss Baby says, there's only so much love to go around, kid, and I'm getting mine.
And it's all mine. Stay out of my way, or I'll get you expelled from this family unit.
Tim concocts a plan to record this baby using a tape recorder.
Well, and there's also a meeting of the babies.
Yes. Tim records the boss baby hanging out with other babies.
Non-boss babies. Let's be clear. Worker babies.
Yes. So boss baby is very smart. These other babies are smarter than normal babies because they can talk.
Mm-hmm. But they are not as smart as boss baby.
Yes.
They're like a hive of babies, like bees in a hive. They are
they have a queen.
Yeah. A master baby.
Yeah.
And then a worker babies. And then
an enforcement baby.
An enforcement baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all bring food to and breed with the boss baby.
Well, they might. I mean, in the long run, it just seems like there's no answer to that question.
Yeah, that's true.
It is very confusing because later the movie will be like, hey, Boss Baby is smart and has the brain of Alec Baldwin, but only when he's drinking this special formula. When he's not, he turns into a regular baby. So all other babies should be regular babies, except for the other babies we meet who must be still getting special formula, but are not employees of Baby Corps. What the fuck, movie? Follow your rules. I'm very confused.
Maybe they just get less formula.
Well, not only that, it is later explained, I'm not sure why, that all babies have magic pacifiers that connect them to Baby Corps, but when you lose your pacifier, you're no longer a baby connected to Baby Corps.
But you still need the special formula.
Only if you're a boss baby.
But then when he comes back, he's just a regular baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Boss Baby also says Tim used to have a pacifier.
Everyone.
Everyone.
They all do.
So here's where I'm confused. Does this movie establish that babies have like a special life, i.e. Rugrats, where all babies are like, can talk to one another and go on little adventures? Or is it that there is a special sect of babies that are employed by Baby Corps who have these powers?
Okay, here's what I think. Boss Baby,
bring it in.
This formula keeps you young forever. Mm-hmm. So maybe Boss Baby is actually like 60 years old, right?
Oh, sure. Easily. Yeah, okay. I think they even say that he's not a baby, he's old.
And these babies could be recent Boss Babies, his underlings. Maybe they're just like 4 years old, and that's why they're bad at stuff.
Couldn't be, because they'd have to have been sorted into management, and we all know if you're sorted into management, you get a little business suit.
They have to go down that little slide, and
so he's recruiting family babies.
And as he said, Tim, not a boss baby, used to have a pacifier connected to Baby Corps.
But, so that makes sense. So all the babies in the world, according to this movie's mythology, have like little Rugrats powers, right?
Sure.
And they're still connected to Baby Corps as long as they have the
Rugrats had powers?
Well, they could like talk to one another and like go on adventures with Reptar and shit.
I mean, I can do that. That's not a power.
No, well, totally. But like, if I had a baby right now, it couldn't do that.
But Michael is holding up a tiny imaginary baby.
I don't want to jump in on you here.
No, go ahead.
Gotta get to the bottom of this.
But I think also Daniel needs to finish this movie. And when but we also need to get to a point where they what the fuck was I gonna say?
Let's watch the movie again. Let's get back there.
That they also have to keep drinking that milk, and then there is also a point in this movie where there is an inferred moment where the baby talks to the boy about what I consider to be that he says there's a vaginal birth.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the baby goes, oh, no, that's gross. That never happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another question for you.
Yes.
It's not vaginal birth. Those babies come from Baby Corps. Where do the babies come from? From Baby Corps?
Well, so later
it's
in the
just
movie,
from Jesus,
it shows Puppy Corp, and they just make puppies like off an assembly line.
This
like,
movie is 9 hours long.
Do they make babies in an assembly line?
Saw the assembly line,
but where were they before the assembly line?
They're like 3D printed, like Lady in the Fifth Element.
Take my sweatshirt off. I gotta get serious.
There you go.
It is getting hot in here.
Tim collects proof that these babies talk and gets it on a tape, which leads to a giant chase with all the babies chasing him around in cars in the backyard trying to get the tape from him.
So the boss baby's minions are Jessica, who is...
Don't even ask me. There's
the
no way.
Female secretary, because that's a thing.
Yeah, she did a good job.
She did do a good job. She's a good secretary. And then
Mike
there's
made a face.
Well, the one like lady baby's the secretary. Can we just like pump the brakes there?
Hey, there's a lot of that going on in this movie.
Then there's the triplets who are just yes men. And then there's
they were kind of like his boardroom. I kind of got like he was a chief executive.
Yeah, totally. And then he has his enforcer baby, who I just called Fat Baby the whole time, because I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
But he was the best part of this movie.
He really hung in there with him.
Yeah.
He was there till the end.
He was Boss Baby's... He was the Little John to Boss Baby's Robin Hood.
So in this scene,
He was the Chewbacca to Boss Baby's Han Solo.
Yes. So in this scene, there is a wild card chase, and then we cut to see that the parents look out the window, and... It's not a wild card chase. They're just goofing around in the backyard.
Yeah, it's like them slowly putting around in one of those, like, you know, wheelie cars.
Briefly implying that this was all imaginary. It's not.
Yeah, and then it cuts to the result of their giant car chase, and all the babies are scattered all over the yard, like,
playing
hung up in trees.
Broken glass.
Playing with broken glass. Boss Baby has been shot into an upstairs window from the ground level. So even if they were just putting around, he ended up getting launched through a window, because he ends up actually upstairs.
A second-story window.
Yeah.
And then...
Fat Baby speedball specials him.
Yeah, that's right.
Then we cut to the climax of this conflict. Tim is about to shoot Boss Baby out the window using a like one of those baby chairs, but uses a slingshot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his parents interrupt him. And instead, the Boss Baby doesn't get shot out. His tape gets shot out and he gets run over by a car. So if he had shot Boss Baby out the window, he would have been run over by a car.
Yes, we're still there. He tries to murder his brother. A baby brother. He tries to murder him multiple times in this movie. Doesn't he? That's the whole first act.
Yeah.
Of this movie is that he is trying to kill his infant child brother.
Well, I mean, who has siblings and kind of didn't want to do that? It's very relatable.
It's true.
All right. Tim gets grounded
for 3 weeks.
What? Yeah. How old do you think Tim is in this movie?
Seven.
Yeah.
Did they say seven?
They established.
Okay. It's
you jumped right on that. So you always fucking seven.
Hey, seven.
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 Uh-huh.
He's in the first grade.
He's a first grader, seven.
He's learning his numbers and reading.
Boss Baby shows up in Tim's bedroom after Tim's been grounded and is all sad and says, "Tim, we got to team up because Boss or Baby Corp is."
Hey, put this holographic pacifier in your mouth.
Yes.
Suck it, Tim.
Suck this pacifier.
Suck it.
I want you to suck it, Tim. You suck it, baby.
I don't
want
to suck it.
Suck it.
Check our Instagram for proof that this is a line-for-line reading of what happens in the movie. It's very creepy.
We can cut that out and it sticks to the tape. Suck it. Suck it. You just fucking suck it.
The Instagram video
and
cuts off.
And they say fuck in the thing. I'm sorry.
It cuts off before the scene ends with Tim going, "Where do babies come from?"
Oh, yeah.
Just suck it, Tim, and you'll find out where babies come from.
And then he does.
Yeah, so they both suck their pacifiers, which causes them to go on a vision quest through Baby Corp, except they're, like, actually telepresencing in, where they can see all the babies, but the babies can't see them. They learn that Puppy Corp is about to release a new line of puppies, and using this line of puppies, They will get all the love in the world, leaving none left for babies.
And baby core will go out of business. Theoretically meaning the end of the human race.
And then Children of Men happens.
Yeah. Oh, I knew it! Oh my god, it's a prequel! So really the plot of this movie is that, you know, millennials just aren't having babies anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's also a war between two corporations that are producing human beings. Or producing mammals of some kind.
Boss baby learns by eavesdropping on his boss that if he does not successfully stop the launch of this new line of puppies, then he will be fired.
It is also in this teleconferencing tour of Baby Corps that we meet the found or the
great babies,
the CEIs,
chief executive
infant.
Nice.
Is okay. Specifically, yeah, of
Ooh,
Baby Corps in the past.
Good memory.
Do you remember the baby's name, Daniel?
I wrote it down. They're going down the hallway of paintings of famous boss babies.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody made you write it down.
Jacob made me write down the favorite boss baby of Boss Baby.
His hero.
Who is named Super Colossal Big Fat Boss Baby.
Super Colossal Big Fat Boss Baby.
Who looks like a certain president.
Yeah, Michael, can I ask you, please?
Yeah.
I didn't look things up while this show was going on, and mm-hmm. I just wondered, when did this film come out?
Last year, March of 2017.
Okay, because the Angry Boss Baby
mm-hmm.
and the Boss Baby on the Wall...
Mm-hmm. Both are white and fat and have orangish hair.
Yes, they're diapers. And I don't. I know that you don't want your show to go political, but I just
Mike says that at the beginning of every episode.
We're not here to politicize.
They were kind of Trumpian looking, weren't they?
They were.
Or are all cherubic. Blonde babies.
They were cherubic.
like our president. Like very our president. Cherubic.
That's just how bosses look.
Yeah.
All bosses.
He's a boss. So what of it? All bosses.
I'm not being sexist.
All bosses are white men.
With big butts. Big, healthy butts.
And you can cut that part out, but you know, this big, giant baby that has, like, diapers on and a suit.
It kind of unexpectedly shows up in your life.
Unexpectedly shows up and says
no more. Seems in charge for no reason whatsoever.
And he's just screaming about Muslims.
And all he wants, all he really wants is to be loved.
That's right.
We gotta get these fucking puppies out of here.
These fucking puppies are so brown. I can't handle it. I'm looking at them and they bother me.
This is
every time I see them, I think to myself, we gotta put a wall between these puppies and our lives. This is America. We're here for the white. I'm sorry.
The white reasons. to be fair, though, Katrina did say that this movie was based on a book, and I'm pretty sure it's that new Michael Wolff book.
Oh, yes.
The Fire and the Boss Baby.
All right. Boss Baby learns he will be fired.
Bit done.
Boss Baby learns that he will be fired in 2 days if he does not accomplish his goal. Also, he's embedded with this family specifically because Tim's parents are marketers for Baby Corp.
Puppy Co.
Jeez, sorry, God.
Oh, my God!
Daniel,
there's two questions.
Were you even paying attention?
So, Boss Baby says to Tim, hey, you gotta work with me or else I will be fired, my special milk will be taken away from me, and I'll just be a regular baby, and I'll be your brother forever.
And we would hate that. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We definitely don't want the movie to end that way.
So Tim decides to be nice. Which, back in the real world,
which is not what he wants, because he would certainly. Which is what he's hated the whole time.
He hates that baby.
Yeah,
that baby's taking away his special nighttime medley.
If the baby went back to being stupid.
Yeah. So if the baby were a real baby. You know, to be fair, he's never lived in a universe where the baby was a real baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
That might be fine.
That might be fine.
Yeah. But Tim decides to be nice so he can get ungrounded.
Tim, you dumbass.
Tim, you piece of shit.
He can get ungrounded and go to take your kid to work day.
So he can go to PuppyCo and steal their plan to release a new puppy. This movie's complicated!
There's so much going on in this movie!
Because the new puppy will end all of human life.
That's right.
Yes. They succeed in this plan to go to, or to be nice, to get ungrounded, to go to take your kid to work day, where they sneak away from the tour they're on with their parents or whatever. They have a brief homage to Ace Ventura 2 when nature calls, when they go through inflatable elephant's butthole.
Well, you forget, you know, we did have a scene where he powders Boss Baby's butt, and then Boss Baby farts and powder comes out of his butthole.
Yeah, and a very concentrated jet stream.
There's a lot of asses in this movie.
So non-stop butts.
Yeah, a lot of butthole things. A lot of butthole jokes.
Specifically buttholes. Not just butts. There's a lot like of like
a lot of ani.
Sure, you see cheeks, but guess what's in those cheeks? A butthole
where poop comes out of.
Yeah. And pacifiers might go into. That's babies right. might crawl out of.
Soon, dog sniff them.
They have to dress up as a puppy or whatever to get through a door to go into a secret room where they keep a file. Mm-hmm. And they have a big extended unfunny Indiana Jones thing where they have to.
To be fair, though, I would have expected this movie to have a big unfunny Mission Impossible thing,
right?
In a sequence like
right.
this.
And then, like, he could be hanging from a rope, and he could be like, toast, toast, and then he could, like, drool a little bit, which is what happens anyways, and it lands on the secret tile. Mm-hmm.
And then Emilio Estevez gets crushed in an elevator.
Oh,
yeah.
No!
Yeah. That'd be way better.
I think these movies, of course, they put in things because parents that are of the age that might have kids...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, they put in stuff where, like, oh, this is gonna land with... Mom and Dad, because it's...
Dad loves buttholes.
Dad loves buttholes, and Dad loves Indiana Jones, but I don't know who they're playing to when they put in an Indiana Jones reference, unless it's... Do you know what I mean?
Parents, like, will start elbowing their kids for
the
Indiana Jones.
The kids aren't going to get it.
Yeah.
But also, it's a very extended Indiana Jones...
Oh, it's so long.
Like, joke.
So they,
and then it turns into Mousetrap.
Yeah, they replicate the exact weight of the file that they're gonna exchange, and they do it, but then Boss Baby drools on it because he's slowly turning into a baby. Or no, he's not.
No, he's not turning into a baby, he just drools.
Yeah, he just drools because he is kind of a baby. And then that causes
because
the trap to go off.
Because he is a physical baby
yes.
with the mind of a angry alcoholic man.
Yes. a mad dad is in that baby's body.
Yeah, or he's Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And no kid's gonna get that.
No.
Are they?
Well, that's why they put in the shot of buttholes spraying powder everywhere.
Yeah.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Fantastic.
That's what
kids
the Hudsucker Proxy
buttholes.
Was about. Guy keeps drawing a little circle. For
let's
the kids.
See, you know, let's,
for
kids. Let's see that spray.
All right, so they steal the folder. The actual trap from the game Mousetrap happens around them, and then a net falls on them, or, you know, like, well, upside down cup shaped like a net falls on them.
No, it's a mouse.
It is revealed that Francis, the owner of this company,
Puppy Co.,
has trapped them and is immediately revealed to be. Super colossal, big fat boss baby, but grown up.
He gives his backstory.
We get another flashback. Turns out he was lactose intolerant, so he couldn't drink the boss baby formula. He was sent to live with a family because he was getting older.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
He was drinking the milk. Then he turned older. Then it turns out he's lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe he stopped drinking it secretly and didn't tell anyone, like an Equilibrium.
Oh, that's the movie I want to watch.
Yeah.
It'd be great if Big Fat Colossal Boss Baby knew Gunkata.
Well, you know, you can... allergies can develop as you grow older.
That's true.
But if you're kept at the same age forever, I don't know. Well, unless he's equilibriuming.
But he said he started getting older, then discovered he couldn't drink milk, not the other way around.
I think the movie is like, well, I was drinking the milk, but I was lactose intolerant, so my body wasn't doing its thing. I was just farting all those chemicals out.
This movie does love buttholes, so that's probably what it was.
What?
He gets placed with a family that he hates, and also has an oafish brother that does everything that he
Eugene.
Says.
Eugene.
That was going to be my problem, which is that he has a brother, but he's also a boss baby.
Yeah.
Eugene knows that he's a boss baby. He didn't forget any of this stuff.
Well, it's really the majesty that is the balance of this movie.
Oh.
We have Tim and Boss Baby,
sure.
And then we have their exact counterpart.
It's a mirror. It's a mirror.
It's a mirror, yeah.
And it's revealed
that... I didn't think of that.
He kept his pacifier.
Yeah, so he could always stay connected to Baby Core.
Oh,
yeah.
So they couldn't wipe his memory.
Yeah.
As they do later in the movie... We'll get there.
Yeah, this movie gets more fucked up.
All right, so...
Also, we're at about halfway through the movie right now.
This is where we're like, oh, we're at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And nope, then they're like, psych.
Nope. We're creating... This could be... the longer we talk about it, I think that this could be like a whole universe.
Yeah.
It's a Boss Baby extended universe.
The BBCU.
The end of this, Samuel L. Jackson comes in and says, Boss Baby, have you heard about the Avengers?
Yeah.
He's got a folder with, like, a guy who knows how to train a dragon, Shrek, and the Boss Baby.
DreamWorks, get at us.
Yes.
We got a script for you.
So Francis says that they have a big trade show coming up where they're going to launch this new puppy, and also reveals what the puppy is to our protagonist. Mm-hmm. He says, we've got the Forever Puppy, who is a puppy who will remain young forever, and we can only do this because you just brought me your secret milk, which we're going to feed to the dogs to keep them young forever.
Yeah. Sick.
So Boss Baby really is the progenitor of the Forever Puppy.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
And also, I don't know how they had the plan to release the Forever Puppy before they showed up, but whatever, it's a kid's movie.
So he knew Boss Baby was going to come? He knew Boss Baby existed?
No
background for this.
No, it's like, because he knew Baby Core would have to send someone in. It was it's very much Benedict Cumberbatch from Trek Into Darkness. Star Trek Into Darkness. He meant to get captured.
So Boss Baby,
he's Khan.
He's Khan. Yeah.
Like the Joker.
He's like the Joker, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Francis is Heath Ledger.
He's got that dehydrator gun that turns all the boss babies into powder or something.
Yeah, he's got that laughing gas that makes everyone
die. That's
what
I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, he's kind of doing a Heath Ledger joke.
He just wants to see the world burn.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi won a posthumous Oscar for this one.
Oh, oh. Oscar.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Steve is dead?
No.
Long live Steve.
His name is Steve Buscemi.
All right, Boss Baby gets his milk taken away, so he starts turning into a regular baby. But not really. Every once in a while, get all googly-eyed and do baby things.
When it's plot convenient.
Yeah,
when it's plot convenient, his car won't start. the car won't start of him turning into a baby.
Francis says, I'm going to take your parents to Las Vegas, and I'm going to keep my oafish brother to watch over you as a fake nanny.
He looks like Mrs. Doubtfire now.
Mm-hmm. And he's also going to make sure that you don't try anything to stop the launch of this dog. I don't know what a baby and a child would do to stop it.
We'll find out. Yeah, right.
I know we're trying to get through this.
Oh, no, go for it.
No, we are not.
Why? These are the worst parents, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Why do they trust these people?
Well, it's their boss.
Yeah, my boss is like, I hired a nanny for you.
A giant, obvious man who's wearing a Mrs. Doubtfire costume.
Yeah.
Parents just don't understand.
Hilarious.
Will Smith really had it from the get-go.
Moving on.
Well,
well, also... Francis implies he will murder their parents if they get in the way.
Yeah, and then later tries to murder their parents.
Yeah, it's a real Coco situation.
So they're under house arrest while their parents go to the airport. To get out of this situation, they rig up a vacuum to act as a fake barf hose. They produce a bunch of fake barf.
Not like one of those real barf hoses you hear so much about the internet. Like those pop-up ads about real barf.
You can shoot real barf out of a hose.
They do not fill the vacuum cleaner with barf.
So they run the vacuum cleaner in reverse to spray fake barf all over the house.
Also, I don't know how to turn my vacuum cleaner
into
a push things out machine.
Well, yeah, it doesn't go from suck to blow.
No, right? It doesn't. Suck it. Blow it. Blow it.
Twist it.
As a mechanical
Bop
engineer,
it. Yeah.
You could do it.
But could a baby do it?
Oh, a boss baby could.
Touche.
If magic milk is involved, yes.
WYBB. What would boss baby do?
There's also that joke in that movie.
Yeah.
What would super fat colossal boss baby do?
Oh, yeah. We should
That's right.
We should make bracelets.
You remember
and say
that.
I remember a lot of shitty jokes from a lot of shitty movies.
Do you remember the part where Tim asks boss baby if he's Jesus? And he says, yes, I'm baby Jesus. Because I do.
When does that happen? I miss that.
That's when Boss Baby reveals himself in that phone call.
The part when Boss Baby is crucified for our sins.
It's the passion of the Boss Baby.
Don't steal my third act.
All right. So this results in another chase as Tim and the Boss Baby escape. Mrs. Doubtfire starts chasing them. There's some problematic language in regards to how this man dressed as a woman incognito is described. Whatever.
Is it? Is there?
Yeah, they call him Mrs. Lady Man, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Like,
all right, DreamWorks, let's not do that one.
Yeah, this movie has a couple of weird things for trans people. But anyway.
And gender stuff just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big chase down the street, and Boss Baby has to recruit his baby meeting squad to interfere with Mrs. Doubtfire so that they can escape and make it to the airport. And they do so.
Drive-by fruiting. Jacob just died. Boss Baby did throw a grapefruit at Pierce Brosnan in this sequence.
At this point, you may think, well, they're trying to stop their parents. This must be the finale. They're gonna stop them. That's the ending.
Nope. Oh, also, the Boss Baby has to use his management motivation to teach Tim how to ride
a
bike
bicycle
without training wheels, which Tim said he couldn't do before.
And it's a lot of... if you're aiming for failure, you will succeed. And a lot of things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
what Mike does in his job.
It really is.
They jump over a train. They get to the airport in time to stop their parents. But Boss Baby starts turning into a baby. And they miss the plane.
No.
Oh, no. This movie is going to keep going now.
It does.
They're very mad.
It should be so over.
Nope. Unfortunately, you can't release a movie.
You guys need to call this, like... Five act saviors. This thing goes on for fucking ever.
Yeah, yep. You can't release a movie that's 60 minutes long. We gotta get another half hour in there.
Let's squeeze it out. Squeeze that orange.
And during the... Tim teaches Boss Baby how to imagine being a pirate in order to solve your problems.
Oh, no, that's later.
Yeah, that's on the plane to Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, they do go to Las Vegas.
So yeah, they get on that plane.
They get in a big argument at the airport.
They get in the big romantic comedy argument.
Tim says... You're a baby to the Boss Baby. And Boss Baby says, take that back. And Tim says, I wish you were never born. They part ways.
They break up. It's the romantic comedy end of the second act.
We learn a valuable lesson here very shortly, too.
Normally, it would reveal itself by now Tim has to do some grand romantic gesture to win Boss Baby's heart.
Yeah, I've seen Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny. They break up and they get back together later.
I feel like the parents are having their own... romantic comedy movie that we aren't seeing.
Where's that movie?
Where they're not paying attention to their kids.
Yeah, it's Home Alone.
Then they don't like each other at all, and then that at the end they kind of like, oh, okay, like, let's pull it back together. Wait, what happened to our kids?
There they are in Las Vegas with us. That's lucky.
What are all these dogs doing here?
So, literally... 8 seconds after Tim and Boss Baby break up, the phone next to Tim rings. It's the Boss Baby, who walked across the room, gave him a phone call, and says, just kidding, I love you, you were kind of right.
He says, yeah, I was never born.
I was hired, not born.
Yeah. So I don't understand some things sometimes, because I'm just an Alec Baldwin. Let's get to Las Vegas. How do they get to Las Vegas?
They beat up an Elvis. No, they steal an Elvis impersonator's clothes.
I forgot about that. They usually have the whole fucking Elvis thing going. Still.
There's a bunch of Elvises getting on a plane to Las Vegas.
I have to pee so bad. We still have Elvis.
They sneak on the plane.
Yeah, they get on the plane full of Elvises. They go on a flight where they bond some more and hold hands and imagine being pirates.
Yeah. We're teaching Boss Baby what it would be like to be a real kid.
Mm-hmm. They land in Las Vegas, where it's revealed that Mrs. Doubtfire also dressed up as an Elvis to get on the plane. They hitch a ride with a bachelorette party to go to the convention center, where they can stop the babies from being released, or the puppies from being released. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so it turns out that this product launch is physically launching a rocket full of puppies, actually, from the convention
center. And all the puppies are being dipped in some sort of now blue chemical that was the milk.
Yes.
To live forever.
Through a DNA infusing machine.
And they all have, like, parachutes attached to them, and it's just going to be a rocket going into the atmosphere and blowing up and launching puppies everywhere.
Well, this is the part where we were like, This is all a dream, right? Like, yeah. The product launch is a rocket launch. It's like what a kid would think it is.
Yes.
Oh, and also Tim's parents, as in their position as marketers for a company, are like
real life. Like, yeah. What their real life?
If there is a real life Boss
if there
Baby.
Is a real life in this movie, there's a real life.
Their job as marketers in this movie is that they are the magician's assistants to Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, who reveals a puppy, everyone loses their shit, and then...
That's a weak high five.
Francis puts the Boss Baby's parent, or Boss Baby and Tim's parents, on the rocket to kill them or something.
You put
right?
him under the rocket.
Oh, yeah.
So when the rocket goes up, they'll be burned alive.
In a giant... heart-shaped chocolate box.
They're literally in a heart-shaped box.
And locked in there with a...
Wink, wink, Mike's winking locked. At me.
Well, because there's that Nirvana song called Heart-Shaped Box.
Yeah.
They have a big fight wherein...
I think that's a tip of the hat to Nirvana.
Yeah. Well, I think Nirvana loved the Boss Baby, is yeah. my understanding. Yeah.
Basically, Kurt Cobain wrote the Boss Baby and had to be killed because it got too deep.
Mm-hmm. Once Daniel part. Finishes his... narrative. What we'll be doing is finding all the Nirvana references in this film.
If you'll remember, there is a cover with a baby's butt by Nirvana. I'm putting my piece of yarn that connects Nirvana to Boss Baby.
And he's chasing that dollar.
Oh! All right. They have a big fight.
I'm tweeting Alec Baldwin right now.
Francis is turned back into a baby because he falls into the baby juice. They rescue his parents. Tim has to sing to the Boss Baby to stop him from being incinerated by the rocket.
Yeah, the Boss Baby saves the parents, is stuck on the rocket. It's about to launch, but he's turned into a baby, which means he's dumb and can't do shit.
Mm-hmm. Unlike the other babies.
All the puppies are just set free into the wilds of Las Vegas, I guess.
But they'll all be killed in Michael Vick's dogfighting ring. Oh.
Francis falls into the de-aging serum.
He turns into a baby again.
Well, he can talk with an adult's voice.
Yes.
He's a boss baby.
Well, he's a boss baby.
Yeah, he had that coming.
Everyone is heroes. Boss Baby gets a promotion. He gets such a promotion that his boss gets demoted and he gets her job.
He does. He takes that woman's job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gives it back to her at the end, though, out of kindness. Well, actually, because he just decides he wants to do something else. You can have your job back. I'm bored. This sucks.
I guess I say that woman. They're babies.
She's a baby.
She's got glasses.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, her
babies
vision
don't wear
bad.
Glasses.
You wouldn't give a baby an eye test.
Yeah, you wouldn't steal a baby.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. Babies shouldn't have those.
Well, how about we get to the most disturbing, unpleasant part of this movie?
What, when they're erasing everyone's memories?
Yeah.
A bunch of babies in hazmat suits show up. A bunch of babies in hazmat suits show up and start erasing everyone's memories involved, except for Tim, who's like, no, thank you. I would like to remember the Boss Baby.
No, thank you, Will Smith. You can put that little flasher thing back in your coat pocket.
That's right. Cleaning the house.
That. Oh, they're mopping up all the barf, the fake barf, too.
Yeah, they're mopping up the fake barf. They're taking down photographs that Tim and Boss Baby once took together.
Replacing them with photos of just Tim.
They're basically changing the mom's memory so that she lost the baby in utero, I assume.
They have magic wands.
It's so fucking weird. Awful.
They say the line, it'll be like the baby never existed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Oh, it'll be like I was never born.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Daniel, how does this movie end?
It shows the boss baby hard at work being a manager, but he feels unfulfilled. It shows Tim missing the boss baby. Tim writes a letter to the boss baby, which the boss baby reads, and then opens a package that Tim also sent that contains all the beads that was earlier in the film used as a metaphor over who gets love. So there is 6 beads on this little slidey abacus thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like one of those things you can play with at the doctor's office when you're a kid.
Yeah, right. And the boss baby would be like, I get all 6 beads of love. I get all the love. You get none. And Tim's like, we could share them, blah, 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 blah. And Tim's like, well, here you go, boss baby. Here's all the beads in the world. And the box is full of beads. And the boss baby wordlessly is throwing these around the room.
Boss baby, you can have all of my love, yes. Tim writes.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
This was a movie that was made for children. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Everything that you just said was more complicated than I can understand. And I am an adult man.
Mm-hmm.
Can we all agree on that, at least?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know your history.
You might be just a boss baby.
Yeah.
How do we know?
That's why we had you on for this episode. Something of a boss baby.
But, what kid understands that happened?
No, they're just waiting for more baby powder, but farts.
Yes.
It was so fucking complicated.
Yes. The boss baby is swept up into rapturous ecstasy as he starts stripping off his business suit and runs up to, like, Boss Baby HQ and hits a bunch of buttons, which causes the graph of who gets what amount of love to turn into a rainbow and fill up a big heart and then spread to all the screens, which leads to everyone quitting or something or clapping for him.
They just clap for him
as if it were like that scene from Jerry Maguire, except less weird.
Yeah.
Who's coming with me? So many moving parts in this thing.
He kisses his former boss, now underling.
Yeah.
And promotes her to his job.
Yes.
Yeah. Give her that job.
And then
you've sexually harassed her about it.
She already had that job.
Yeah, we know she can do it better than you.
Yeah. And you took it and then have to be like, oh yeah, I'll take it back.
I'll kiss you and give you your job back.
Now you can have it.
Yeah. Now that I know that I can have it whenever I want, you can have it.
People love me. You can have this job back.
Boss Baby hops on the slide from heaven down to earth. He hops on the slide and has since learned from Tim where he is ticklish. So he shows the tickling robot where he's ticklish.
Gross.
And gets sorted into the family thing. Shows Tim looking out the window all sad. A taxi pulls up. But you don't see the Boss Baby getting out of the taxi this time. Mm-mm. His parents just come in the door holding a baby saying, it's your new baby brother. Tim and the baby are now in love. And get to spend the rest of their lives together as brothers.
Cut to
Flash forward.
Oh, yeah.
Cut to Tobey Maguire, who's been our narrator this entire movie, reading a book to his daughter, being like, and that's my story. Me, adult version of Timothy, Leslie Templeton.
His daughter goes, "Is that what really happened?"
Shut up. I'm your father.
He says, well, that's how I remember it.
And we never see his face, and then another faceless adult male in a suit, played by Alec Baldwin, says, you got that right, Tim. Have some money, kid.
Yeah, and then she looks at a window of her new baby sister.
Who sits up and is wearing a business suit.
Whoa!
Dun, dun, dun!
She winks at the camera. The end.
Freeze frame. The end. Or is it?
Lead it to, can you wait for the next version of this creepy version of how kids are introduced to their siblings?
Boss Baby will return in... Da-da-da-da!
Boss Baby will return in The Glass Ceiling.
We did it. We did it, fam. It was rough, but we made it through Boss Baby.
Boss Baby. Boss Baby.
Boss Baby. Baby. This movie was all over the place. I wonder what a child would think of this movie.
It was longer than you'd think it would be.
Yeah.
By about 5 minutes. I was expecting really? An hour and a half. It's an hour and 35.
This movie.
Really? It seemed like it was like so, 3 hours.
Yeah, so it dense.
It's a lot of info that they pumped into our brains.
About where babies come from.
And I know, I think I said this earlier. I know you guys say like that you have, you know, third act.
Yeah.
Saviors, but I felt like this movie had like 4 to 5 acts.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, this is the problem with the third act savior.
Universe brand
cinematic universe
is that bad movies generally do not stick to the third act structure particularly well. A lot of them are like, we'll just fill everything up in the first act and then we'll have a 5 minute third act.
Is there any way we could have a bunch of backstory and a flashback? Here it is.
This movie had 3 or 4 flashbacks. Yeah,
oh definitely. And I feel like they kind of gave away their I think they kind of gave away their secret. Maybe kids wouldn't see it, but because it is ostensibly a movie for children.
Well, we watched it.
that gave away its secrets, at least to me, in the first, I don't know, 45 minutes.
What, when Boss Baby gives a presentation on what the plot is? Yeah. And how he's a boss baby.
And how imaginative the little boy is. And that, now we have another child, and so we're going to have to deal with that.
But. Oh, you and Daniel still believe this was all in his imagination. I beg to differ. This is real life.
It was reality?
This is how that's how my brothers were born.
Mike went through this. We all went through this.
Well, right? I never had a brother, so I don't know.
This is basically a documentary.
Yeah.
I mean, my brothers are both older than me, so I have no idea. I was a boss baby once.
Yeah.
I mean, we all were, right?
You hang up your little suit in the closet and become an adult.
I'm still a boss baby.
Just waiting for a vat of juice to fall into.
I am. I'm like the guy at the end. I'm, what the fuck was his name?
Francis.
Yeah. You're colossal.
I'm a grown ass baby, and I'm just trying to
make your way in the world.
Yep, hang in there with you guys.
You're making your way downtown.
Someday you'll finish your mission and transcend off to heaven,
and then come back.
Yes, you'll be reincarnated as a regular baby.
Keeping my head above water, making my way when I can. Temporary layoff, good times. Temporary.
I have a question for everyone.
Can't remember the words.
Mm-hmm. Why was Tim's mom pregnant at the beginning? If babies come from taxis,
that is the scariest question of all.
Where do you think those taxis come from, Daniel?
Vaginas.
Yep, nailed it.
Okay.
Hey. Gross.
Sorry. Oh, that is this movie's stance on vaginas.
Ugh, gross. Yuck. But buttholes?
But buttholes.
Oh, baby, give me another portion.
get me in and out of that thing.
You can tell a man really wrote this.
Men love buttholes.
Yeah, we do.
Should we do our tests?
Yeah. If you guys don't have anything else you want to say about the plot, the majesty and the ecstasy of Boss Baby, talk a little bit about representation in this movie.
Oh yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
The Bechdel test. Are there 2 named female characters in this movie?
Yes.
Mike, let's hear a couple names.
There's Mom and whatever the secretary baby's name was.
I believe that's Stacy.
Stacy.
I only know that because they say it again at the end.
Yeah. But those are the 2 that
There's
also
the female boss baby.
There's also female boss baby, yeah.
Does she have a name?
No.
Minorly colossal big fat boss baby.
She has glasses. Do they talk to each other?
No. Hell no.
No, 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 no.
There's no way two female characters talk to each other in this movie.
Nope. Well, there's the triplets.
Yes.
Yes. Are one of those triplets a female baby?
Well, I thought they were all triplets.
They're all dudes. Yeah. They're all dude babies.
DBs.
DB Coopers.
Yeah, there's some weird gender stuff in this movie.
If we have to dig this deep, I don't think that it probably passes the test.
No, it doesn't pass any of the tests. We just got to do it.
We're just going to go through it. The racial Bechdel test. Are there two named characters of color in this movie?
There is one character of color that has been divided into three things.
Yes.
And it is the triplets, baby.
The triplets are
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Except without names.
Yeah.
They're just the triplets.
I don't think they talk to each other.
They talk with each other.
They talk to the boss baby.
They're basically those platypuses from Valerian. Sorry, yes. John. Our previous episode.
They're basically the penguins from Madagascar. No, penguins all have different personalities in Madagascar.
You guys watch Madagascar?
No.
I have seen them.
Probably. I mean, that's probably a good movie, right?
I had a niece and nephew, they came out.
I
took him to see Madagascar. I also worked at the movie theater, so I would be the person to take my niece and nephew to see movies at the time.
I don't feel like this is gonna, it doesn't need to be an argument.
Mike, lay off!
Guys, Madagascar is good! It's got Chris Rock in it, and the one from Friends!
Yeah, Chandler.
Could I be any more a giraffe?
And of course, the LGBTQ test. Are there any LGBTQ characters in this movie?
No,
there are not. Get it out.
I don't think you can have babies that are, I think they mostly babies? Have to be asexual, right?
Well, there's adults.
Otherwise, it gets creepy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the parents are awful. Awful people.
Definitely.
Awful people.
Jimmy Kimmel and Lisa Kudrow?
Yeah.
Is that them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
What? Are you serious?
Jimmy Kimmel was dad, and Lisa Kudrow was mom.
More friends.
They got paid. How did we not bring that up until now?
They're barely in the movie.
Yeah. They are. But why would you hire such famous people such stupid...
Because they wanted $200,000.
I'm sure that they did.
Oh, I'd do it.
They could have hired us.
Yeah.
They could have hired Daniel Kinnaman.
I would have taken $100,000.
To be mom and dad.
I would have played the mom.
I would have played daddy.
I'd played Francis.
Blackbird, go to bed.
Blackbird singing. Da-da-da. Oh, wait, I have to sing it like a lady. Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Shit, Lisa Kudrow's in the room.
Whoa, couldn't believe it.
I love you, son. I'm proud of you.
And it fails all the tests.
Yep.
Fails all the tests.
There's really... It's
Wait, a... but do two baby characters talk to one another?
The baby Del test.
Oh, baby Del. Yes, multiple babies talk to each other.
Good.
But do they talk to each other about something other than an adult character?
No, they don't do that.
I mean,
next time, boss baby.
Is the is Baby Corp? I mean, all corporations are people, but is Baby Corp a baby person?
Corporations are people too, Daniel.
I know, but are they baby people?
No, they're not. Because then Puppy Corp would be a puppy people.
Oh, okay,
not a thing.
I'm a cat person myself.
Do you notice what a tiny slice of the love pie cats got?
I did not notice.
Unfair, I say.
Bullshit!
Tiny slice for them, tiny slice for fish. People love cats.
I mean, fish should have a tiny slice. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares about fish.
Oh, man, my fish died.
Flush it.
Flush it. Just wing it out into the woods behind your house.
Oh, no, my cat died. Flush it.
All right, where does this third act start?
Oh my god.
When they fight in the airport.
When they
that's
fight
what
in
I
the
say.
Airport. Sure.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we pause while I use the toilet facility?
No!
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, because we're going to take a break.
A break?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Da 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 da.
Break!
Thank you.
All right, we are back, and we have endings for y'all.
Woo, woo. Ha, ha,
we're gonna
ha,
make
ha.
We're gonna make this boss.
That was a hawk.
We're gonna make this boss baby work again. Here we go. Mm. I'll take a lucky number one.
I'll take two,
three.
I'll take four.
Yes,
if you'd like.
Or five or six.
Honestly. It won't matter.
It's a three. That's you, Jakob.
Oh.
Jakob.
I hardly ever am first, so that's a surprise.
I thought I was never first.
Daniel.
I don't know. It's first? Random. I occupy all spots.
All right. Let's take you back to the boss baby. Now, when we last left off, Tim and the BB were having a fight in the airport about whether he wishes he was never born, yada, yada, yada.
And then they bone.
they kiss romantically at the airport.
Wait, they bone?
That's what
yada, yada, yada means.
Yeah, that's what Mike's adding.
I saw the Seinfeld episode.
Moments later, the boss baby calls Tim. They make up. He explains, Tim, we have to save our parents. I mean, your parents. I'm obviously a boss baby. Mm-hmm. But we need to sneak to Las Vegas. We have to stop from Puppy Corps from releasing the Forever Puppy, because if Puppy Corps releases the Forever Puppy, Baby Corps is out of business. No more babies. It's terrible. I'll never get my promotion. Tim reluctantly agrees. They've made friends. They sneak aboard Elvis style. They make it to Vegas. Get to the convention center. Following the plot of the movie we've already seen. Mm-hmm. But they confront Francis before he's launching his giant puppy core rocket full of puppies. And Francis activates the rocket, throws the key away, and they're like, no, we've got to stop him. Our parents are going to be roasted. But seeing no other options, Boss Baby says, well, we can't stop him. He's an adult. We can't stop an adult. But Francis, we know deep down all you want to do is join Baby Corps again. And you've created this elixir that'll turn you back into a baby. What if we propose a compromise? Business is all about a compromise. Francis, you come back with Boss Baby to Baby Corps. We will figure something out. Timothy can go back with his family, and I will have left them alone. And Tim reluctantly goes, but Boss Baby, I love you. I want you to be my brother. And he says, sorry, it has to be this way.
Mm.
So Boss Baby and Francis deactivate the rocket. They save their parents. Francis is turned back into a baby, and they ascend back to Baby Corps heaven. And Tim goes back home to find that his parents' memories have been wiped. He decides to turn down the memory wipe. It's like Boss Baby never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so sad. And then, you know, a few days go by. His mom goes off to the hospital. They come back in the taxi, and, you know, he runs down. Oh, it's Boss Baby. He's back. His precious brother is back. We don't see any of the stuff up in baby heaven. And his mom exits the taxi and comes into the door, and there in her arms cradled is a half-dog, half-baby hybrid.
Ah!
Just, come meet your new brother, this, you know, our puppy baby. And Tim's like, what's going on? Just then he gets a message from the boss baby. It's tucked in the dog baby's, like, wrapping.
His collar.
Yes, in his collar. We get a brief, you know, cutaway to baby heaven, where we discover that to solve their competition, there's been a merger between Baby Corps and Puppy Corps. From now on, there's only baby puppies. Half man, half babies. Tim's the only one who knows, because he turned down the memory wipe. And Tim is completely horrified. He runs out into the street and screaming, no, this can't be.
He sees more monsters.
He sees all the babies from previously, but now they're half dog, half babies. Mm. There's the big dog beagle baby, the triplets who are also, I don't know,
chihuahuas.
Chihuahua babies. Tim runs down to, down the street to the beachfront, which we haven't seen up till now, but they live on near a beach.
Sure.
And there off in the distance is the Statue of Liberty with a dog's face. Tim falls to his knees and gives a plaintive cry to the heavens. No, you can't do this, Baby Core. And the camera slowly pans up into the distance and fades to black. The end.
Oh, my God.
They blew it up.
You maniacs. I call that the Planet of the Dogs.
And I assume the sequel to that is that Mountain Dew commercial featuring Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Who remembers that?
I do.
I do. Who remembers that? Audience? Hey, what up?
I'm getting a message from the audience. They remember it.
They remember Puppy Monkey
hello.
Baby. And also, what's that new Bud Light commercial?
Dilly Dilly.
Dilly Dilly.
Hi, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, you're on the line, yes.
Wow. Yeah. What's the name of that thing that I've been thinking about?
It is...
What's that?
That's three frogs. Yeah, it was the name of a brand.
That's the one. Thank you so much. I'm always going to be a happy caller.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Is this the third act Saviors?
Yes, it is.
I love that you guys are doing a call-in show. Do I have Mike and Daniel on the line?
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Cut his mic.
The end.
All right, I'm going to take a number one.
I'll take a number two.
Dicer the Elk. I'll take a three.
What do we got?
Oh, it's a three!
Oh, wait, does that mean it's my turn?
It's your turn.
Boss Baby is a monster movie. It's not about a child. It's about a terrible person. A person that is trying to... destroy the world, and you cannot keep him undercover. He is the villain of the movie.
I buy it.
It's like There Will Be Blood or The Master or something. Real
right.
Oscar well, acting showcase.
And also more like a Nightmare on Elm Street because the child, Tim, has all these dreams that are controlled by Boss Baby. And as they happen, we work our way through. Tim tries and tries and tries to get his way through it. And he can't.
Tim. Sweet little Tim.
His parents are completely... irrelevant. It's sort of like the nanny in Muppet Babies.
Just a pair of legs.
Yeah.
Pair of gams. Striped stockings.
They're abandoned children, and the horror of it all is that his baby brother is an absolute monster and no one will listen to him. He's very intelligent. So by the time that it gets to the end, they have abandoned their children. Now they're at the airport, and this movie, as I have said multiple times on this particular podcast, this movie goes on forever.
It sure does.
It definitely does that.
So by what we're calling Act 3, now we're doing Die Hard 3.
Oh.
The child has grown up to be a total monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he is Bruce Willis in the airport trying to save his parents from being killed. And they have a huge gunfight. And then he has to like...
Wait, so they grow up and then come back to the airport?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
No.
They're still children.
Maybe they still do it as children.
Okay. Yeah, that's where we're.
Yeah.
But with guns.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I mean,
if it's a baby in a suit and a watch.
Yeah, he's already got a suit and a watch.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and he has to. Tim has to live up to that.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they kick out the windows. They pour gasoline down the runway and try to save his parents.
Okay.
And light it up. And then.
As you do.
And then, they have a gunfight inside of there.
They foreshadowed that because Tim uses all sorts of guns throughout the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got them Nerf guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got the sucker gun.
He was learning it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins in the end.
Yay!
And he says at the end, he goes, hey, Mom and Dad, there's your fucking landing light.
Does he shoot Boss Baby?
No, he kicks him off the wing of the plane.
and he gets sucked into the jet engine.
Wow. A grizzly end for Boss Baby.
Gotta watch out. Baby Corp's got other Boss Babies, though. There's sequel potential here.
Thank God Sully's flying the plane.
Well, yeah, his management position came with great life insurance.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
His dependents will be fine.
Yay!
All right, Mike.
All right. I'll be oddsies.
I'll be evensies.
Oh, it's me. It's me. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- We last left him. We last left him. He's fighting with Tim in the airport. Tim says, I'm sorry, Boss Baby, but I wish you were never born. Mm. Boss Baby takes a breath. He's taken aback. He says, Tim, I'm sorry you had to say that. Please walk with me to my office. They walk through a door and they're
in an office.
They walk through a door and they're in an office.
That's amazing.
Boss Baby's office. And he says, Tim, please have a seat. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go.
From being a what?
From being my big brother.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much for your time here at Templeton Co. But it's time that you moved on. I think we are going to have to go with a different candidate moving forward in this role.
No.
But it's okay. Let's not get carried away. We'll give you 2 months' salary.
Okay. Dang.
And of course, your benefits will last until the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And it's the 5th now, so you've got some time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your years of service. Please clean out your desk, and we'll have security escort you out. Anyway, thank you. Bye-bye. Tim, heartbroken, goes to his desk, fills up his box with his nameplate, his Nerf guns, his vacuum turned into vomit hose. Takes it home with him and really starts examining his life. You know, mm-hmm. like, what has he been doing? What has he been doing?
Yeah, who are you?
Like, who are you? It's like, you got out of college, got your degree in big brothering, and you just jump into the first place that offers you a job?
Yeah, I gave you these years of my life.
And it's like, what? It's like, all right, you know what? I have this severance, Tim says to himself. Mm-hmm. I have this severance.
Sure.
Let's really explore me. I never took that gap year.
Mm-hmm.
So he hops on a plane. He goes to India.
Wow. Namaste, my friend.
he walks around. He meets some gurus. He learns a little bit about love. He learns a little bit about life. A
little bit about food.
A little bit about food.
A little bit about prey.
And a little bit about prey.
The game.
The game prey.
He loves it.
You know, and it really changes him. Mm. You know, he's really feeling it here now. He's feeling it here.
Mike is pointing to his crotch.
Pointing to my crotch. He's feeling it here. And he's like, you know what? I think I'm ready. He goes back. After his 5 days in India, he flies back to the United States. And he's like, you know what? I'm good to go. He gets a job at a local tech startup.
Wow.
I mean, they need a big brother there. He's got the training.
What is his job there?
He's a big brother. I mean, he's got the degree.
He takes them to shoot basketball hoops.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, and you know, he helps the employees learn about sex and horror movies.
Oh, here's some cigarettes.
Here's some cigarettes.
Yes. Yeah. Here's how you smoke, kids.
Here's how you smoke. And, yeah. You know,
Zuckerberg really could use that, too.
It's true.
Any of you kids beat off yet?
No. But you know,
guys chew tobacco.
But that India really changed him.
Yeah,
it really changed him.
Yeah,
you know, he might be back in this humdrum drone of a life.
Sure.
But it really changed him. He's going to be more present.
Wow. Yeah.
And so you know how he's going to be more present?
Mindfulness.
Yeah. He's going to take some improv classes.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
live in the moment. Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Really, live in the moment.
Well, that guy sounds like a loser.
So he goes to his local improv theater, and he starts taking some classes.
Okay.
And he really learns to yes and life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it. He's going to live that.
Will
life.
I do it? Yes, I. Yes.
Yes.
And.
I, yes. And.
Yes.
Yes.
I. Am.
Yes, I
yes. And I will switch to chewing tobacco.
Yeah. he really lives a more mindful life. He starts doing some meditation. And
how is his improv?
It's a bar.
Okay.
It's a bar. You know, he thinks he's mindful, but he doesn't really listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He comes out every scene and starts it by yelling, giggity, giggity, giggity.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Daniel, that's so mean about Mike.
And then grabbing his dick.
To be fair, yeah. He just comes out and he's like, we're at the DMV on the moon.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
The crowd goes wild.
And the human race ceases to exist because no one ever has babies again.
Yay! Okay.
So far, better movie.
Thank you.
I can relate.
I'm going to call that the white guy in Seattle ending.
Perfect.
Okay. Daniel's ending.
Daniel. All right, it's Daniel time.
No, okay. No dice rolling needed because nope. He
Wait,
is...
Daniel, what do you want?
1 through 6, please.
It's a four. That's
I think he got it.
That's in the range. Boss Baby and Tim are fighting at the airport. All right, he says... They go their separate ways. Their mission, a failure. So eventually, Mrs. Doubtfire catches up with them and is like, all right, boys, back in the car. And we cut to them on a sad taxi ride back home. It kind of turns into a montage now. We see them going about their life. The trade show in Las Vegas is a success. It does one of those things where it's like playing sad music and you see like them at the trade show being like, young puppies! And everyone's like, yay! We come back home, both Boss Baby and Tim are looking out the window all sad.
It's that song from Donnie Darko, right?
All around me are familiar places.
Yes, yes.
Worn out places.
Well, I prefer to
and
think of...
shoelaces.
I remember that song from the Gears of War commercial.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But yeah, so some time passes. We see some news clips going on in the background how the birth rate is plummeting. We see Boss Baby and Tim. They are reluctant brothers. Boss Baby stops dressing like a boss, stops being a boss. He's just a baby now. Yeah. And in fact, now he's a toddler.
Stops being like a boss, more like some fam.
Just he's lit AF. He's a thought.
Yeah,
he's the Boss Baby.
They're just like thought.
Just a sad baby.
They go downtown. They see an orphanage that's just overflowing with just babies.
Literally,
yes. Yeah, so the babies are
they're
like
just, they're falling out the windows.
And one of the babies, they can still talk. They say, "Is that the Boss Baby? Is that the Boss Baby? It's the Boss Baby. It's the Boss Baby.
Boss Baby.
Kaz, is that
you?
That's
our leader. That's our leader.
He's the one that could have saved us all, and he let us down." And they're all talking to Tim, but Boss Baby's just a baby now. And they say to Tim, like, "Wait, what's he doing with you? Why can't he talk?" And Tim's like, "He just stopped. He ran out of milk, and now he's a baby." And his parents are, like, they're looking at their phone. They're liking dog pics on Instagram because they love dogs now and do not care about their children.
Sure.
Dogs have won. People love dogs and hate babies now.
Puppies.
So it's
they
like,
love puppies.
So it's like the world we're living in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
No one's everyone's ignoring their children. Mm-hmm. And so this is how this conversation is happening. And they say, he could have saved us, but he failed. And now here we are. Well, these babies are saying, well, there's still hope.
A new hope.
We got a plan for babies to take over again, but it ain't using business. It's more of a contingency plan, and you guys are just the ones to enact it. They start giving a baby presentation in the orphanage that is full, saying, before Baby Corp went out of business, we set up the infrastructure to poison the world's water supply with baby juice, thus turning everyone into a baby. Everyone needs to love themselves, and if everyone's a baby... everyone will love babies.
They call them Babies San Frontiers.
So, you guys need to go on a little adventure down to Nicaragua, where the switch is, to set off this bomb that will make everyone babies. And they do. There's a shootout along the way with Puppy Corp people.
Sure.
But they pull the switch. Which turns everyone in the world to babies.
Oh, okay.
There's some problems with this, and that is the end of the movie. Everyone's babies now.
Everyone's scripts babies. Rarely end that way.
Was Nicaragua mentioned in the actual movie?
No, I just needed a place for them to go.
That's fine. I just was
where?
Like,
the Congo?
Never mind. Congo. They go to the Congo.
Yeah. Oh, now it makes sense.
One of those shithole countries. I'm sorry.
You should be reprimanded for that publicly, but it won't happen.
We'll talk about it later.
All right.
Hey, you guys, this yeah. is really fun.
Oh, I like it. Thank yeah. you. Thanks for coming. I was going to say, Daniel, you gave me a really good idea for an ending while you were talking.
Oh,
tell us.
Well, leave it where we left off. You know, instead of going to Las Vegas, they go out on a hunting trip, and Boss Baby decides that Timothy's really holding him down, so he kills him and buries him out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to later where Francis comes to meet Boss Baby, who's now older, and asks him for, like, tells him that he's set up his baby formula factory as well. But actually, Boss Baby explains, he's drinking up his baby formula.
I drink your milkshake.
I see. He beats him to death with, like, a little tiny bowling.
That's right.
A little plastic one.
Yeah, he has become a corrupt old capitalist at Baby Corp.
I really liked Michael's ending of very Cain and Abel kind of... two brothers that murder each other in a animated movie.
Hail of Gunfire.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around the table.
Yeah. This movie was impossible to write an ending for.
It really was.
More so than usual.
Because they already wrote four of them in the actual movie.
True.
There's so much going on. It gets resolved, and then more stuff, and then it gets resolved again.
And then another ending.
And the Boss Baby could never return to the Shire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, oh, we should have had him go to the Grey Havens.
Yeah.
Or we had to come back to the Shire and then, like.
Eugene Francis is there.
Like, fuck everybody up. Like, sure. You know, purge the Shire, book style.
The raising of heaven.
Yeah.
Well, John, do you want to plug anything that you haven't plugged?
Daniel and I will be, I have no idea when this might.
On January 27th, the Scratch Deli.
Yes.
At 8 p.m.?
Yeah, I think this episode will be released very soon, is my understanding.
Yes, so we'll be on the 27th. We'll also be on the 28th at Jet City Improv doing a contest for Improv for Humans.
Yes.
Oh. Ooh. What happens if you win?
We go to New York.
We'll be rich and famous.
Well, New York City?
New York State?
Are you kidding me?
Get a rope.
If we win, then they'll send our tape of our recording to Matt Besser himself, and he'll look at it and say, these guys shouldn't come to New York.
He'll challenge you to a debate.
If he decides otherwise, yes. This was a trap.
He'll challenge you to a stand-up versus improv debate.
He'll throw it on the floor and take a shit.
Just, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
No, but please come see us at either of those things. Scratch Deli, that's a real place.
Yeah.
Where is that located? Capitol Hill?
Capitol Hill, Seattle, Washington.
Oh, right here in Seattle, Washington. 98122.
Creepy stalkers fly out and chase Daniel and John around.
Yeah, if I have any creepy stalkers, I'd love to meet you.
I'm creepier the better.
I'm lonely as fuck.
And also, you have a podcast.
I do have a podcast. I am PRV News 9 at 8. You can find it on, what are those places? iTunes?
Stitcher?
SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, all of those things.
All of the places where podcasts are found.
And you know, my friend Ezra that runs the thing said that we actually beat Matt Besser for downloads last week.
I saw a screenshot of that.
What?
Well,
two.
I don't know if it lasted.
Yeah,
that's still awesome, though.
Yeah,
probably it was like for like 2 hours.
Hey, that still counts.
But yeah, fuck you, Matt Besser.
Yeah, go to hell.
Please let us win your competition.
You guys are. This is really fun.
Thank you.
I would do this anytime. I think it's a blast.
You should come back.
I love watching movies and goofing about.
Yeah,
that's what we do
that's
here.
All we do
using your bathroom. all of that.
What
stuff.
A bathroom
it is. Yeah, it is one great place to pee.
I do it several times a day.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I know.
Very nice.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What's your like regimen? What do you do?
Well, I drink a lot of water.
Yeah,
and then I drink a lot of beer. And then I drink a lot of coffee.
Mm. What's your pee record?
Oh, boy. I'm probably up in the 10 to 12 range.
You got to go right now, don't you?
I do got to go right now, yeah. I had those two beers and that half a thing of coffee Daniel brought.
Okay, well, maybe we should sign off.
Well, we got to
do other plugs.
Oh, Jacob, plug.
I'm going to plug the Decades Podcast. That is the podcast that I am on with my mother and our friend Nicole.
You just made a Ramos Gin Fizz, according to my Facebook.
I think that's for a future episode. I have not tasted that Gin Fizz
yet. Oh, I've had a Ramos Gin Fizz, and they are delicious.
Spoiler alert on the Gin Fizz.
Oh, I'm going to throw that podcast under the spoiler bus.
I co-host a podcast with my mom and friend. We watch a movie from a previous decade and a current movie of similar topic. And this season, we are doing political movies. We are up to the 1950s, I think, will be the next... Well, the next one we record... What'll be fun is the next episode that's released was we did an episode about interracial marriages where I had my not white girlfriend, Karen, and Nicole had her white boyfriend, James, on, and it gets so heated and became such a long podcast that it split over two episodes. So those will be fun. Those are ones I recommend you download.
Guess who's coming to record a podcast?
Yeah, it was a good one. It'll definitely be exciting. I don't know what it sounds like because I haven't heard it, but it was fun. It was a good one. And yeah, listen to that. It's available wherever podcasts are sold.
Me?
Daniel.
Well, John already plugged the thing I wanted to plug. So what should everyone do instead?
How about your other podcast?
Sidekicks Podcast.
I'm re-editing an episode tomorrow.
What's the next one going up?
Justice League. It'll be up Monday.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
You guys saw that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it good?
No.
Okay.
It was real bad. I did not watch it with them. I watched it separately. And I enjoyed it, though. I would say watch it.
I kind of like
really
it, too.
Dumb.
But don't see it.
Yeah.
Save your money.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Daniel and I saw the Star Wars
movie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, give us your 10-second review.
10-second review is it gave...
Not time's up.
Yep.
Oh.
No, what do you want? Just kidding. What
did it give you?
Well, it gave me a difficult day because I had to wake up early in the morning.
And that was my doing. Like, we're going to Star Wars. When's the showing? 7.
Oh, 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. But I did see it in IMAX. I was there with my eyes open, and
the audience was listening.
I was looking, and you know, it kind of it's hard to say when you're that tired if you are if your emotions are real or not.
Sure. That's how I felt about this movie.
It hit the Luke Skywalker stuff. It all hit my buttons on the right buttons.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I teared up a little bit, but I'm an easy crier.
No, yeah. You're in the right place for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Chewie almost ate that porg, started to cry.
I'm crying right now. No, it, and you know the Carrie Fisher stuff, and you know it was worth it. It was worth it.
Go see Last Jedi.
If you're our age, especially, or my age, and you saw those movies as a kid, I can't believe that you wouldn't want to see.
Yeah. For the audience, John is
Luke
12.
And Carrie.
Yeah,
I am 12 years old.
He's a boss baby.
I'm a boss baby. I'm wearing a delightful suit today.
Very sharp.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so. I look very good.
You do look good.
Yeah, I dress up for a podcast. That's how I do.
Oh yeah, that's how you get ahead in podcasts.
Yes,
visual media.
It's all about
for
looking
the photos.
Good.
You dress for the podcast you want to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the Dapper Man fashion cast.
Yep. That's
the Dapper Dan.
My dad always said that, you know, dress for the podcast that you want to do, not the podcast that you are doing.
Your dad, Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
How do I dress like Marc Maron?
You just got to dress in a garage and a lot of stray cats.
Yeah.
Just a perpetual guitar on my lap.
Mike, do you want to plug anything and talk about your feelings on The Last Jedi?
Yeah, do tell me your feelings on The Last Jedi, because I'd like to know.
First, go listen to Sidekicks Pod. It's out there. Sidekicks Pod, not Sidekicks Pod. Also, I'm going to be in
the
play.
You have a psychic pod?
I wish. I'm not as good as Madam Cleo.
Is this your card?
It is.
see you on the Psychics Pod.
Call me now.
Also, I'm in a play called The Mighty Sequoias. It will be the first weekend of March.
Do you know where that's being performed?
At the Rendezvous in downtown Seattle.
Was that where your last
downtown Seattle
show
State.
Was?
Yeah.
The one I saw?
Yeah. Same place. Good. Same
Mike's
place.
Good. Go see Mike.
Is that spelled as commonly accepted rendezvous?
Rendezvous.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. It's the right. Rendezvous.
The mm-hmm. the Francais.
All Francais.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 And then The Last Jedi is very good. I really liked it. Luke Skywalker was always a whiny bitch. Why wouldn't he be in this one?
I saw it for a second time recently with an edible. Better the second time.
Hello.
Like, first time B minus, second time A plus.
Edible popcorn.
Yeah.
Jacob.
We don't advocate drugs, kids.
Yeah. No, I don't advocate it. It just makes The Last Jedi more fun.
You didn't like it?
No, I liked it both times. I just liked it more.
Oh, okay. I kind of want to see it again. Sure. But like at my house.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I saw it twice. It was good. I liked it better the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the second time was better because stuff that had bothered me the first time. I was like, oh, they explained it.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's because we were, the first time we were together and we held hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww. That was nice.
Like the boss baby and his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We fell asleep on each other during the movie. Oh, it was wonderful. I loved it.
It was very comfortable.
Very pleasant.
I missed the whole middle part.
I never slept so well.
It made me feel loved.
Okay. Hey. Well, no, yeah. you're in charge.
Yeah. We'll be back in a fortnight, everyone, for another episode. I don't know what we'll probably watch Bright.
Yeah,
Bright?
We are gonna watch Bright.
Bright.
Let's just say Bright right now.
Bright?
Go on Netflix.
Sure.
Watch Bright. Unless
Bright?
You value your time.
I heard it was terrible.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, second Max Landis written movie we've done.
What was the first?
I believe American Ultra is a Max Landis film.
Right, it is.
I don't think we've seen any David Ayer movies on this, although you guys watch Suicide Squad for Sidekicks, so this will be your second time around.
I've seen a lot of David Ayer movies, but yes, this will be the second time for a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So all right.
Keep it real, meowmies.
Keep it real, meowmies.
Keep it real, meowmies.
You can say it if you want, John.
Keep it real, meowmies.
Nailed it. First try.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. You're listening to Wizard on the Shelf.
You're listening.
Ouch.
hot weather today as the Wizard on the Shelf kicks it into his ass in this morning of fine traffic. Traffic and weird weather on the nines.